for more punch till lunch. It's Kellogg's Corn Flakes, the original, the flakes more people eat for more punch till lunch. Kellogg's Corn Flakes. And for more thrilling adventure in the great outdoors, it's Mark Trail.
Battling the raging elements, fighting the savage wilderness, striking at the enemies of man and nature, one man's name resounds from snow-capped mountains down across the sun-baked plains, Mark Trail!
And now Kellogg's Corn Flakes invite you to share another thrilling adventure with Mark Trail.
A merciless midday sun beats down on a cluster of weather-beaten shacks in the heart of the Arizona desert. There is no sign of life, and the silence hangs thick and heavy. Suddenly, the drumming of horses' hooves is heard, and an inquisitive dog rises out of the shadows of a pile of oil drums to stare at the approaching rider. Reining in violently, the rider jumps off his mount, scuttles quickly up the steps of a nearby shack, and bursts into a small office.
Hey, Bart!
What are you in such a sweat about, Ned? There ain't no weather to be racing around in.
No? Well, maybe you'll raise a sweat when you hear what I just found out in town.
What have you found out?
We're going to have visitors.
Visitors?
Yeah, real prying visitors from the United States government.
What?
Yeah, I thought I'd get a rise out of you.
Well, come on, talk, Ned. What do they want here?
Don't you get excited. They ain't lawmen, but maybe they're just as bad.
Come on, get to the point, Ned.
Well, you heard about the government wanting to turn that 5,000-acre stretch near Salt Lick into a preserve for wild desert animals, didn't you?
Well, sure, but that's 30 miles away from here. What you got to do with us?
They need water around Salt Lake, and they figure on laying a pipeline down from the mountain.
I still don't see
what... They figure on laying that pipeline right across this section of the desert.
This section?
Uh-huh. And across this property, the Lady David Mine.
No! No, sir. We can't have no pipeline here. Inspectors, construction gangs, that'd ruin our whole setup.
You ain't telling me nothing new, Bart. But they're going to be asking your permission to lay that pipe here.
How do you know?
I heard him talking down at the county records office. Two fellers, name of Mark Trail and Professor Davis. Kids with him, too.
I see.
From the looks of them, I reckon they could smell out the setup here at this mine real quick.
I don't know, Ned. After all, dead man don't smell so good.
Dead man?
Sure. Look, you're a good shot, ain't you? And we got the property posted against trespassers. There ain't no law against shooting trespassers.
That's right, there ain't.
Well, what do you say? There's a big shipment due in here tonight. Can't let it come through if there's strangers around the place.
Yeah. Hand me that rifle, Bart. I'll see that there won't be no strangers around here tonight. Unless, of course, they're dead strangers.
Hey, Mark, you know what?
No more about the heat, Scotty, please.
No, I was just going to say it's cooler with that sun so low in the sky.
Well, that's the first time you've used the word cool today.
First chance I've had, Professor Davis.
What's the next piece of property we hit, Professor?
Well, let's see. We're still on Cliff Morrow's spread, and that runs right into the Lady David property. According to the map, it starts around that bend up ahead.
Are the mine shafts near the border of the property or farther inside?
About a mile or so in.
Boy, I'd like to have a look around down there. Maybe I can find some chunks of silver. Well, that is what they mine there, isn't it?
Right, Scotty. Pretty good output, too.
Well, here's the bend. You should be able to see the shafts and the outbuildings pretty soon.
Hey!
Mark, that was a shot.
Yes, aimed at us. Turn around. Get down low in your saddles and ride.
Hey, Mark, why should anybody...
Don't ask questions now, sir. Do as I say.
Ow! Mark! Oh, boy. Professor, stop. Mark,
oh,
shot.
Oh, good heavens.
Mark. Mark.
Is he hurt badly, Scotty?
I don't know.
Get out of here, quick, both of you.
Mark, you're all right?
I said get out of here. Hide behind the bend. Go on before one of us is really hit.
Mark, we can't leave you here.
Yes, you will. Now for the last time, move. Or we'll never get that weasel who's shooting at us.
We'll continue in a moment. So stand by. A Mark Trail adventure sure packs plenty of punch.
And say, do you pack plenty of punch and power? Winning power? Suppose you're entered in a big race at the school swimming pool. Do you flash out like a shot at the starting gun, churning a white wake through the water? Is that you pulling away from the others, stroke after powerful stroke? Is that you hitting the finish line as the gallery cheers?
Well, this much is sure. No matter how fast your strokes, no matter how strong your kick, you can't do your best without the power of a better breakfast, like a breakfast built around Kellogg's Corn Flakes. For Kellogg's Corn Flakes help give you more punch to lunch.
You see, when you eat a Kellogg's Corn Flakes better breakfast, you're setting yourself up with more ready energy. You'll have more quick-acting power and have it ready when you need it. That's because Kellogg's Corn Flakes give you the power of corn, the extra power that can make the winning difference.
And the winning difference in Corn Flakes is that sweet, live flavor only Kellogg's give you. Say, with good, rich milk and a sprinkling of sugar, a big bowlful of Kellogg's Corn Flakes is the lip-smackinest treat you ever tasted. Those bigger, crisper flakes have the freshest flavor of all, because Kellogg's Corn Flakes are the world's fastest-selling, the world's most popular ready-to-eat cereal.
So remember, for that extra quick power and drive, eat a better breakfast built around Kellogg's Corn Flakes. You bet. For more punch till lunch, it's Kellogg's Corn Flakes.
Kellogg's Corn Flakes. And listen real close, because later on you'll hear how to get a first-class identification bracelet with your very own name on it.
Riding toward the Lady David silver mine in the Arizona desert, Mark, Scotty, and Professor Davis were ambushed by a hidden gunman, and Mark suddenly fell from his horse and lay still on the sandy ground. When Scotty and Professor Davis jumped to his aid, he fiercely ordered them away. Now, lying absolutely still, he waits for the killer's next move. Seconds pass, then minutes, and Mark waits tensely. Suddenly, he is rewarded by the sound of footsteps, and through half-closed eyes, Mark sees a man carrying a rifle cocked and ready. The man hesitates, then stops less than a foot away, rifle pointed directly at Mark's head. Suddenly, Mark lunges forward.
Hey. Over you go, pal. Oh,
take on me.
Not until I get that gun of yours.
No.
Okay. No. Okay, there. Now, take it easy. I wouldn't want to break any bones.
Get off of me. You're sitting right on my stomach.
Bad for your digestion, eh? And I'm staying right here until I find out why you were shooting at us.
I can't breathe.
All right, there. I'll rest a little easy on you. Now maybe you can talk.
Mark, you all right?
Sure, Scotty.
I knew he had a reason for ordering us away.
Can you not hit at all, Mark?
No, it's just a trick. There's no cover for us to hide behind, so I pretended to be shot. Make myself the bait for this scrawny old fox.
Get off of me. Cushion my side.
Okay. Here, Professor. Will you hold his rifle?
I got it.
All right, old-timer. Now you can get up and start talking.
Yeah?
Now, why'd you shoot at us?
You're trespassers. I got a right to keep you off of this property.
Perhaps, but that quick trigger abuses the right.
You could have warned us off.
That's what I was doing.
Six or eight shots? Just a sort of a mild hint, I suppose.
Take it any way you like. I ain't got nothing more to say.
You work here at the Lady David?
What if I do?
Perhaps your boss will talk a little more freely.
Maybe. Why don't you ask him?
That's just what we intend to do. And you're going to take us to him. So start moving, old-timer. Fast. I see, Mr. Jordan. The net here acted with your full approval.
Yeah, that's right, Trey. This is still a free country. A man's got a right to keep trespassers off his land.
You might at least post a warning.
The Lady David property is posted. I can't help it if you didn't see the signs.
Well, where'd you put them? Underneath the sand?
Listen, you little squirt.
You'll do nothing, old-timer. You calm down too, Scotty.
But, Mark, you know we didn't see any signs.
Forget it. I imagine, Mr. Jordan, that with your dislike for strangers, you won't allow the pipeline I mentioned to be laid across your land.
You imagine right, Mr. Trail. Old Ned and me likes our privacy. I don't want no government construction gangs crowding our land.
But it would only be for a few weeks.
Never mind, Professor. Mr. Jordan has obviously made up his mind. There's nothing we can do to change it. We'd better leave.
It's a good idea, Trail. He ain't gonna do you no good to stay here.
Listen, you can't talk to Mark like...
Never mind, Scotty. Come on, Professor.
Let's not bother these two friendly individuals with our company anymore.
Well, good old Ned. You fixed things real good, didn't you?
All right, Bart, cut it. Talking about it ain't going to help none.
Then maybe you got an idea of what will help.
Well, one thing, that shipping tonight. You can't let it come through. You got to stop it.
That's a lot easier said than done. Plane's probably left already, and he ain't equipped with no radio.
That's real nice.
But I'll call and make sure. Meantime, you get out and keep on the trail of those three. If they just ride off, which I doubt, we're okay.
And if they don't?
Well, sir, then we're going to have to make sure they never ride away from here. Alive.
Mark, I don't see why you let that fella talk to you the way he did.
I just like the sound of his voice, Scotty.
What?
I was hoping to do enough talking to give me a lead on what he and Ned are up to. But no luck. Oh, Professor Davis.
Yes, Mark?
Those copies of the land titles the county record clerk gave you. Is there one on the Lady David mine?
Yes. You want to see it?
Yes, sir. Rein in a minute, will you?
Yeah, Mark. Here's the whole batch of titles. I think the Lady David is about the fifth from the top.
Thanks.
What's the matter, Mark? Do you think there's something funny going on?
Definitely, Scotty. And I mean funny peculiar.
You find anything, Mark?
I think so.
Well, what is it?
This Lady David mine. It's a very interesting history.
What do you mean?
According to these papers, Scotty, the mine petered out in 1904. Not a speck of silver left in it. Then Bart Jordan bought it about 3 years ago.
Yeah?
And suddenly it started producing silver again. Even more than when it was originally worth.
Well, that can happen, Mark. They could have uncovered a new vein.
Perhaps, but look at these charts of the different mine shafts. The place was pretty well worked out when Jordan bought it.
What are you getting at, Mark?
Seems odd, doesn't it? A mine suddenly producing silver after 43 years, and an owner who wants no strangers around?
Seems to be a suspicious combination.
Too suspicious. That's why I think we'll stick around for a while and keep an eye on the Lady David.
Well, Bart, did you manage to stop the shipment?
Oh, no, the plane already left. It'll be here in about an hour.
That's great, real great.
The trail and his friends still around?
Yep, I followed them. They've holed up in the wash around the bend about 2 miles from here.
Yeah, I expected that.
What do we do? They see that plane, they're going to get real curious.
I hope so. That's what I'm figuring on.
You what?
Don't look at me like I'm crazy. I got a little idea.
Well?
You know that old mine tunnel underneath the hill? It's a dead-end shaft. Just leads in from the hill about 200 feet from here. No side tunnels or passages.
Yeah?
Oh, when the plane drops its shipment, I can just bring the stuff into that shaft and then hide.
Well, what for?
If that trail fella is real curious, he's going to follow me into the shaft. And once he gets inside, he'll find out curiosity kills more than just cats.
Hey, Mark, Professor, come here, quick.
What is it, Scotty? Something happening around the mine?
Yes, look. See that fella Jordan? He's sending out little flares.
Flares? Say, those are the type of flares they use for emergency plane landings.
Planes? Well, what have they got to do with a silver mine?
I'm not sure, but I've got an idea.
A what, Mark?
Let's wait and see what happens, Professor.
Hey, listen.
A plane. Watch it, both of you. It's a full moon tonight. Maybe we can see the markings on it.
Sounds like it's getting closer.
Keep watching, Scotty. Mark, it's diving in.
Yes, from the south.
It'll pass right over the mine.
Mark, parachutes. See them? Something was dropped from a plane. Never mind the chutes. Watch for the markings.
Golly, I missed them.
No, I didn't, Scotty. I got a good look,
and so did I. But it wasn't a CAA number.
I know. It was a Mexican registration. That's where the plane came from. Mexico.
Hey, look, Mark, those parachutes. There are crates attached to them.
Listen to me, Scotty. You've got a job to do.
Me? What?
You're going to ride back to town and phone the nearest office of the United States Treasury Department. Tell them to get an agent out here as soon as they can.
Treasury Department?
Why, Mark? Don't you see, Professor? Bart and old Ned are smuggling silver in from Mexico.
What?
And then selling it to the Treasury Department as having been mined in this country.
But what for, Mark? Why should they?
Scotty, you can buy silver in Mexico in the world market for between 40 and 50 cents an ounce. But according to our law, our Treasury Department has to buy silver mined in the United States at 90 cents.
I still don't get it, Mark.
Well, Jordan and old Ned are buying silver in Mexico at the lower rate, smuggling it up here by plane and reselling it at almost double what they paid.
And they're pretending that they're mining it here at the Lady David.
That's why they didn't want us to lay that pipeline.
Of course. They could never have continued operations with a crew of men around.
Golly, what a dirty swindle.
We're going to put a stop to it right now. Get going back to town as fast as you can and call the Treasury Department.
Okay, but what are you going to do?
Mark, Jordan has taken the parachutes off the crates. He's dragging them back toward the shaft.
There's your answer, Scotty. Professor and I are going to find out what Jordan does with those crates.
Careful, Professor. Stay down as low as you can. If Jordan sees us, we're in trouble.
Well, look, Mark. He's dragging the crates into the mine shaft there.
Better hold up for a minute.
Aren't we going to keep after him?
Well, sure. Let's give him plenty of time. We don't want to be stepping on his heels. And besides, I want to give Scotty a chance to reach town and get a Treasury agent out here.
Come on, Gypsy. Get up there, boy. Give it all you got. Come on. Jump in, catfish. Oh, boy, easy now. Hold now. Easy, Gypsy.
Don't want to be riding so fast, honey.
Mad.
It's dangerous galloping around in the dark. You never know what's around the next turn.
Come on, now, get out of my way.
Oh, no, sonny, you climbed down off that horse. I ain't never shot a kid afore. But that don't mean I won't if I have to. Get down, I said. That's real smart of you, sonny.
Well, what are you going to do?
Nothing yet. Just take you back to the Lady David. After we get there, well, that's something else again. Something it ain't nice to talk about.
Here's the mine shaft entrance, Mark. We go right in.
Wait, wait. You hear anything in there, Professor?
No, not a sound.
Guess Jordan's been far enough for us to start following.
It's black as pitch in there.
I know. But we're hardly in any position to show a light.
Well, you ready?
Uh-huh. But first, give me your lariat.
What? What are you going to do with it?
Tie it together with mine like this. I'll loop it around the entrance support here. We'll unwind the rope as we go along. And we'll always be able to find our way back again.
Good idea. Be careful of that support, Mark. It doesn't look too strong.
It isn't. I think it'll hold until we get out again. And I won't put any pressure on the rope. Just unwind it, let it lay on the floor of the shaft behind us.
Okay, Professor. Come on, let's get moving.
See anything, Mark?
No,
not a sign of Jordan.
I haven't heard him either. You don't think he's given us the slip somehow, do you?
Possible, I suppose. Like this main shaft.
Aren't we almost to the end of the rope?
A few more feet. Then we'd better head back. No sense taking any chances.
Mark, what is it?
Bumped into a wall. Post. Maybe a sharp turn here. Nothing on this side.
Solid over here, too. It's a dead end.
Where'd Jordan go?
I'm right here, Gray.
Mark.
Behind you, pal.
How did he get there?
You can stop wondering, Professor, because I ain't going to tell you. Poor trail. I don't like prisoners.
Of course you don't. An audience wouldn't be welcome to your silver smuggling operations.
Jordan. I'm ringing down the curtain on you right now.
How, for instance?
By putting you away for Keith. Out of this mine. So I'm going around.
Mark, he's going away.
No, but I still can't see him.
I got a charge of dynamite at the entrance of this shaft. Now, guess what'll happen?
Mark.
Sure. You and the professor are going to be all alone down here. With only the rest to keep you company.
Don't be foolish, Jordan. Scotty's on his way back to town. He's bringing a Treasury agent with him.
Don't you be foolish, Trail. That kid'll never reach town. Old Ned's waiting for him with a gun.
Good heavens.
Well, so long, suckers. Hope you ain't afraid of the dark. Because that's all you're going to be seeing for the rest of your life.
We'll continue in a moment, so keep listening. Yes, listen, fellas and girls. Now you can get an identification bracelet with your own name inscribed on it. Yes, we're offering you the real beauty, worth over four times the price.
The nameplate, the sturdy link chain, and the safety clasp are all nickel finished to give off a dazzling gleam.
Oh, just wait till you see it. You'll be proud as punch to wear this identification bracelet. Say, when you put it on your wrist and see the way your name shows up and the way other people envy you, you'll see what a bargain it is.
That's right. Want yours right away? Sure. Well, then send in for it right away. Just tell us what name to put on the nameplate. Anything up to 14 letters goes.
And now, listen to this. You get each identification bracelet for only 25 cents and two box tops from Kellogg's Corn Flakes, the cereal that helps give you more punch to lunch. How about that?
Isn't that great? So get going. Write for yours today. Here's all you do. Send the 25 cents and two Kellogg's box tops to Kellogg's Box 324, Battle Creek, Michigan. Include the name you want inscribed and your own name and address clearly printed. It's as simple as that.
Right. For each bracelet, send 25 cents and two Kellogg's Corn Flakes box tops. Include your name and address and the name you want inscribed clearly printed. Mail to Kellogg's, Box 324, Battle Creek, Michigan. Send for your identification bracelet today.
Unaware that Mark and Professor Davis have been trapped in an abandoned shaft of the Lady David mine, Scotty returns to the main shack with old Ned Shanley, and, still at gunpoint, dismounts.
All right now, sonny. Don't you get any bright ideas of being a hero or anything. You just behave.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Walk into that shack, nice and good.
Where are Mark and Professor Davis? What have you done with them?
You'll find out soon enough, sonny. Like as not, Bart will have you join them.
Hey, what's that?
Sounds to me like the trumpeter at the Pearly Gates, just a blowing the call for your friend's trail and the professor to come on in.
No.
Yeah, it's just what it is. You see that mine shaft over yonder? Your pals are down in there, and they ain't never getting out again. Right, young one. That's enough. Now you sit down. Making me nervous tramping up in town like that.
Well, if you're going to kill me, why don't you get it over with?
We'll wait for Bart. He's the boss around here.
Well, where is he?
Blast it. I'm beginning to wonder myself. What in blazes?
What's the matter, Ned? Isn't Jordan satisfied with trapping Mark and the professor in that tunnel? Is he trying to pull the whole place down on them?
Well, he never said nothing about it to me. Now, go on, sonny. Walk out that door.
Where are we going?
Never you mind. Just do as I say.
All right, all right.
And remember, I still got this rifle pointed at you.
What's the matter, Ned? You're getting nervous?
I'm not getting nothing. Now, shut up and walk over to the mine shaft.
But there's nothing left of the mine shaft. It's all blocked up.
Tarnation. Where the devil is Bart? Should have finished off trail by now.
You didn't quite make it, man.
What?
Mark!
Watch this gun, Mark. Take it easy, Ned. You'll hurt yourself.
Let go!
Sure, as soon as you drop the rifle.
My eye.
Drop it!
All right.
I have it, Mark. Thanks, Professor. Sorry, old-timer. I don't like to take advantage of your age, but if you insist on playing with guns all the time...
Bart! Where's Bart?
Jordan? Oh, he's still in the mine shaft. Enjoying a good sleep. Helped by Mark's right fist, I might add.
But what happened, Mark? Old Ned said you and the professor were buried in the mine shaft.
For a while, yes, Scotty. But Mark decided to help us get out again, especially since he was trapped with us.
Well, how did that happen?
Well, Mark left a guide rope tied to a rotten upright at the head of the shaft.
Yeah?
And before Bart could leave the shaft and set off the dynamite he was planning to use, we just pulled the rope and did Bart's job for him. Right. The whole entrance collapsed. And so Bart was buried with us.
Well, then how did you get out again?
By using Bart's dynamite. He didn't want to stay down there with us, so he told us where he placed it. We just dug it out. We used it to blast our way out of the shaft again.
Well, no wonder there were two explosions.
Yes, Scotty. And you might call the second one the backfire. Bart's and Ned's scheme. Backfiring against themselves.
Well, Mark, Scotty, are you both ready? Our plane leaves in a few minutes.
Sorry, Professor Davis, but we won't be going back to Lost Forest with you.
What's that?
I just got a call from Roy Blake.
He's a game warden up north. He wants me to get right up there.
What for?
Seems like an awful lot of deer being killed.
Illegally?
Blake thinks so, but can't prove it.
Mark will find out what's going on, I'll bet.
Don't be too sure, Scotty. This sounds like it's going to be one tough job.
And on Friday, when Mark and Scotty arrive in the North Woods, they find danger and death lurking in the forest as they try to solve the puzzling mystery of the Avenging Arrows. Tune in same time, same station on Friday and find out what happened to Mark Fales.
Battling the raging elements, fighting the savage wilderness, striking at the enemies of man and nature. One man's name resounds from snow-capped mountains down across the sun-baked plains. Mark Fales!
Did you ever see anything that could beat a dog for energy? Like the way Mark Trail's Andy is always on the go? Well, if you want your dog to be bouncy and full of fun, one thing he needs is a food like Kellogg's Grow Pup Ribbon. It's the only dry dog food approved by the American Veterinary Medical and Animal Hospital Associations as a complete food. Pound for pound, Kellogg's Grow Pup provides three times as much nourishment as leading canned dog foods. So feed your dog Grow Pup Ribbon or Grow Pup Meal every day.
Remember to tune in then on Friday when Mark Trail will again be brought to you by Kellogg's Corn Flakes, the cereal that helps give you more punch till lunch.
This program is entirely fictitious. The resemblance of any name, personality, or incident to an actual person or event is merely coincidental. This program came from New York. Mark Trail by Ed Dodd also appears in the comics of many of America's leading newspapers. Look for it daily and in weekend editions. Matt Crowley portrays Mark Trail, and Ben Cooper is Scotty. Today's Mark Trail was written by Palmer Thompson, directed by Drex Hines. Jackson Beck speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.